Well, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Coming up is my girl, Korea. Listen, Korea and I go way back. We have worked together in a mental health program. We have been in the trenches with our husbands as they were on the political campaign trail. This is my girl, and she's going to just have a conversation with us about what it means to really mind your money. We're going to get into the mental health of money. We're going to again talk about your money mindset. I think this is going to be a really great conversation. So listen, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel for your girl. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review, leave a comment, let your folks know we're over here. Your support really does help to move the podcast up in the algorithm. All right, y'all, that's enough of me chatting. Let's get on to this conversation. Hey friend, I'm Robin May, and a few of the professional hats that I wear includes being a transformational speaker, a life coach, and a licensed therapist. And personally, well, I'm a wife, a mommy to three girls, and a pastor's wife, just to name a few. Girl, I'm over here doing all the things while trying to stay in shape and keep my skin clear. But the truth is, I don't want to be known for being busy. I think that's a scheme that somebody set up. No, I want to be known for living a life that is in perfect alignment with what God intended. And I want to help you do the same. So it's with that in mind, I'd like to welcome you right here to Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Over here, we're creating a safe space to have real conversations with real women on real topics. This is a judgment-free zone where we can be vulnerable and honest and curious about our lives so that we can elevate not just what we do, but who we are. So if any of that resonates with you, again, welcome to our safe space. This is Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends. Well, ladies, as I said in the intro, I have one of my girls here. Listen, you know, over here on Intentional Conversations with Robin May and friends, I bring my real friends on to have real conversations about real topics. And it's so funny, before we even hit record, we're catching up. We're talking about how connected we really are. This is my girl. I am excited for us to be able to just sit at her feet and learn from her and just hear a real woman who is juggling real life stuff. She's juggling a whole marriage. She's juggling 5011 kids. She's juggling her own life. And she's going to help us get our money mindset right. Welcome, Korea. I'm so exactly happy you are here. I'm so excited. I was about to say excited and happy. So I'm excited and happy that you are here, sis.
Well, listen, I'm excited as well. I'm excited. This is hasn't always been an easy part of a conversation for me, but it is one that I've gotten more and more comfortable with, and I'm excited to have because I know as long as money is a part of the conversation, then people are listening, learning, and loving it. Because
Yes.
reality, whether we talk about it or not, we're all going to have our money issues, our money woes, our money goals, right?
Girl, I love that. We're gonna talk money woes and money goals. Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting because you're right, honey. Money will make you perk up and pay attention. So much for us to cover. But I want to just start with what you just said, which is surprising to me. Part of the reason when I was thinking, as I told you, for those of you who are watching the video behind me, I'm in my office, and behind me, or in front of me rather, are all of these big white sheets of paper where I have planned out 2024. So, of course, the podcast is up there, and I have the names of all these people that I want to bring onto the podcast. Well, your name is up there, and I was toying between two topics, money or marriage. I might bring you right on back for marriage, but I wanted you to come on for money because one of the things that really intrigues me, and in this series, I talked to Darshan first, is that you were in this mastermind, right? And I'm so intrigued about it. Also, your mastermind hosted an event at our church, TFC, around wealth building and generational wealth. And so surprises me when you say this has not always been a comfortable topic. Y'all know I keep it real. I don't get excited about this topic myself. So I would love to know from you, What was the discomfort for you, and how did you begin to make that transition?
I think I'll start with the end in mind. I think I'm still in the transition, right? But it's just kind of ever growing, ever evolving. But I grew up, I'm the youngest of five, a single, single mom household. And so there was more money woes than goals. And so I knew I wanted something different. I remember in sixth grade, I got a chance to go to Hawaii. My older sister had left and graduated high school and went to the military. So she joined the Navy. And by the time I was in sixth grade, she was stationed in Hawaii. And I got the opportunity to spend a summer with her.
How cool is that? So you were What grade would you were you in
I
again?
was in sixth grade. I was leaving sixth grade,
Wow.
heading to seventh grade. So it was that summer in between.
Yeah, so that's about what, 12 years old, I think, if I'm right.
11, 12, something, one of those. And that was the defining moment of the rest of my life, because at that point, I remember more about the day I came home from that trip than I remember the rest of the trip.
Wait a minute, girl. See, that's not even in my notes. Girl, okay, tell me what happened. What was defining for you?
When I came home, I still remember what home smelled like. I remember exactly what everyone was doing when I walked through the door. I remember just everything. But what I remember most is, wow, the world is much bigger than Plainfield, New Jersey. I'm out of here. I didn't
Girl.
know how to get out, but I knew that
Girl,
that was not it for me.
that is so powerful because, have you ever seen those Facebook games, I guess, where people post, they'll post all of the cities in the United States, or maybe they'll just post all the states rather. They'll post all the states and they'll tell you to put an X by all the ones that you went to. I am often surprised at how many people haven't traveled outside of their area, or they might have only traveled to one or two states
Connected
connected. And so,
states.
for you at 12 years old, you were exposed to how big the world was, and you knew it was bigger than where you were. So, did that begin to give you a glimpse of what you were looking for in life?
Exactly. And when I tell you, Robin, that trip and the rest of my life could not have been at further polar ends, because, again, love my mom. She did all that she could and all that she knew to do. And she had a job. She consistently for all of my childhood worked at Johnson & Johnson. But, we still struggled. I mean, I was probably the only kid in class that, was trusted with a candle, because our lights would often be turned off. I knew where to keep them. I knew how to light them. I knew how to set them up straight so we wouldn't burn the house down that we rented. I mean, I knew how to wash my clothes in the bathtub. Okay. And so one of the other things that happened as an adult, and I remember when I was working in the domestic violence arena, and we were talking about privilege, right? And so we all got in the line, all of the team members, we all got in the line, shoulder to shoulder. And it was kind of like the, if you've done this, take a step forward. If you've done this, take a step forward. If you've done this, take two steps back. So the only thing from my childhood that I had in my bucket was that trip to Hawaii. Okay. And so I was still in the negative. Okay, no sleepaway camps. No camps. Let's just start there, okay? I was definitely a latchkey kid, because my siblings are all kind of like right next to each other. There's four of them, and they're like within 4 or 5 years, from the youngest to the oldest. I'm 7 years after my youngest brother. And so, me and him was in, spent some time in the house together. But Hawaii is what I had. When I tell you Hawaii was
Why,
what I held
girl?
on to.
Okay, so listen, as you're listening to this, I have something I want to say to you because I want you to start getting your mind going. But if you were my client, I'm going to talk about mental health in just a minute. But if you were my client and you were telling me that story, those of you who have worked with me before, you know how that story would stand out for me, I would have you probably get a postcard of Hawaii and put it in a frame and keep it on your dresser, because it's those defining moments that we have to keep a visual of, because it literally shifts our life. And so I want you, if you're listening, to be thinking about what were some of the defining moments, and I know you're going to talk about this in a moment. What were some of the defining moments for you? One of the things, let me tell you this quick story. This is well into adulthood, but I came up with, or I had this revelation. It's nothing really deep, but it was something that really stuck out to me. I went on a girls' trip with me and two other girlfriends, and then we did this very last minute. We were going to a conference. The conference didn't have many rooms left at the hotel. And so all three of us stayed in the same room, and we were okay with it. It was a suite. And it was like, girl, yeah, this is going to be fun. We're having a slumber party. So we get to the hotel and we check in, and we're exhausted, and it's time for everybody to kind of take a shower or whatever. And some people think this is gross, but just flow with me. So, girl, we're walking around in the room, and everybody's sitting down, the two girlfriends, and I'm walking around, and it's a suite, so there's several closets. So I'm opening this door, and I'm opening this door, and they said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Oh, girl, I'm looking for the robe." And they were like, "What robe?" Take a shower, and I didn't be able to. I didn't pack a robe, so I need to put on the robe. And they were like, "Robin, we're staying at the such and such suite. Baby, they don't have no robe in here." But what came out from this? People think it's gross to put on the robes, but baby, the hotels where I put on the robe, their robes are cleaner than my robes. They're brand new. You got to take the tag off. What I came up with from that is this, and I repeat it all the time. Exposure changes your
Yes, it
expectations.
does.
When you have been
Absolutely.
exposed to certain things, it changes what you're expecting. And so,
Exactly.
sis,
Exactly.
sorry. I don't have a robe. Why isn't there a TV in the mirror? Now, let's keep it real. I've stayed at those hotels. And I've even stayed at a hotel against my will that opened up to the outside. So I have been.
I believe that one started with the
It was an M. So that conversation you just shared with us, going with your sister, something that minor exposed you to something else. So it changed your expectations. So we started this out by me asking you, why has it been a difficult transition? And you said, I'm actually in the transition. Tell me a little bit more about that. So you knew it was something more that you wanted. So what began to happen for you?
So it's like, when I came back, and again, I came back, I was like 11 or 12. And so it wasn't like I was just like, yeah, I'm doing
Yeah.
this and I'm doing that. All I
Starting my
knew was what I
business.
wanted. I had a dream. I didn't know where I was supposed to go, but I knew I was, headed out. I was not stuck because I'd been exposed, right? And
Yes.
so at some point I realized, that I wanted to be a social worker. And even that came out of like this weird thing, but whatever. I wanted to be a social worker. My mom had two of my cousins taking care of them. And so they had a social worker and she was so nice. I was like, oh, I can do this job. I want to be just like her. And so we did, I went to college, along the way in high school. I had some really great mentors and college advisors, high school advisors that introduced me to then college advisors. And I was able to work that thing out. I also remember the day I got the introduced to the FAFSA form where you apply for money for school. And I was a part of this college prep program because my counselor was like, yeah, you got to go, because she already knew what
What was going
was about
on?
to be. So I go home and I say to my mom, like, Mom, I'm going to college. She was like, you should graduate high school first. And I was like, yeah, well, next year, I'm gonna graduate, I'm gonna go to college. I said, but they told us about these FAFSA forms that we probably have to do in the summer. How much do we have saved for college?
My God. Oh my
You
God.
know, my mother said to me,
What, girl?
well, right now I'm saving for the rent.
Baby. She said,
College, honey, we keeping a roof over our head.
Right. And so I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know what to do with that. So I just like Kevin Hart, took it in my hand, put it in my pocket, and was like, okay, I'm gonna have to figure out how this thing gonna work out. But
Right.
God took care of me. Fast forward, I did go to college. I did, graduate, became a social worker, became a licensed clinical social worker. That's where, well, I was about to say that's where our paths crossed, but it wasn't. That's where our professional path came
Yes.
together.
Yes.
But all throughout that time, right, it was always a hustle for me. Like always, I was very independent, always, taking care of myself, always making sure that what I needed, I worked for and I worked hard for it, but there was still some things that I'm like, I'm a social worker. I still don't know how to like actually make money, right? They didn't give us business courses. They didn't, tell us how to do these
Not.
things. But and so I'm like, okay. And so it's really that transition. And then when you talk to other people, and even now I look at people and I'm like, where are you financially? Right. And it's always like a question, not because I'm trying to like get in your pocket or figure it out, but I've always, figured out like how are people making money? How are people going to Africa for a month? I can't go to Africa for a month. Like, how
Girl,
are you
girl,
getting over
girl,
there?
me and my roommate, me and my college roommate, Tiffany, we used to drive down the street, and when we would see like this beautiful mansion, this was always our question: what did they major in? Because clearly, I didn't major in
Listen,
Yes.
when I was in grad school, this woman came in to talk about statisticians,
Yeah.
right?
Yes.
And she talked
Yes.
about how much money was in for the research and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm doing that. I'm doing that.
I
Girl,
remember.
took that classes, almost failed out of everything. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just stay in my lane. I'm gonna stay
Never
where God
mind.
will provide, but this is not the way that he's providing. Okay. So, but
Okay.
let me stay
Yeah,
on
so
task.
that was the
I'm hanging out
evolution
with you right
point.
now. But so the reason, so ultimately, some odd years later, I was, doing very well. I worked, like I said, worked in the domestic violence arena, was the a director of a crisis center. And for me, it was like me single, I'm like, okay, I'm doing all right. But I still don't have extra money, right? Like how people doing what they do? Like I
Yes,
need to do something,
yes.
but I was working nonprofit, right? But ultimately, what I started looking at was, I ended up actually coming across Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And that was kind of like my first what to do with the money that I have, right? Now,
Yes.
I'm not, we our people have a lot of different feelings about Dave Ramsey, all right?
Because I,
And
baby, because I
so,
know the mastermind that you're in. And I know
right.
the person who created the mastermind. I know how she feels about Dave Ramsey.
Right. But listen, his politics and his social views are whatever color they are.
Yes.
But his views on money are green, right? And so while I, even, sometimes on this, I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm gonna take what I need.
You what they call it, you eat the meat and throw away the bones.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I do tell people like, hey, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, just go on, but I did follow his principles, right? And on my very meager salary, within a year, I was able to have an emergency fund. And that was kind of like the first, like not just I'm doing it, I'm making it, I'm okay, but that was the first time that I was like, okay, I can have a breath in between. Where I was and where I was going. And it was just like, okay, I can do
Absolutely.
this. Like I was comfortable.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean the in the sense of like, oh, I can put my legs up, but I was not stressed. If I'm driving down the
Yes.
street and I get a flat tire, I'm not worried about how I'm getting the car back to the house. I'm not worried about how I'm putting the tire back on the car because I'm like, oh, okay, I can get
And
a
at
new
this
tire.
point, you were a single woman. You didn't have any children, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And at that point, you had already done differently than what you had seen with your mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to pause here because what's so powerful, even when you talked about when you first started talking, when we talk about our upbringing and our childhood, it can feel very sticky because we love the sacrifices that our mothers made, and we love the sacrifice that even if a father was in the picture that they made, and it can feel like we are discrediting
Right.
what they did. But that's not the case at all. And quite frankly, just like you and I with our children, our parents want us to do better than what they did, right? And
Yep.
so you had already changed some things generationally by that point. Okay.
Absolutely.
So then fast forward for me, you end up, okay, let's step back because I did not ask you to share this. You are married. Talk about being married, how long you've been married, how many children you have, and all that good stuff.
So yeah, I met my boyfriend,
Yes.
and I am married to a wonderful man, Robert James, and he is truly the love of my life. I really, really, really adore him. When we met, we met at a domestic violence conference. He had just become the solicitor, and I was there with my
Oh,
shelter
that's how
crew.
y'all met.
Yeah, that is how we met. We met at the Hyatt in Savannah. Yep.
Wow.
When we so we have four children now. We've been married for 13 years. 13 years, together for 16. Now we have four children. My oldest is 17. And so for all of you doing the math, that's my
Yes.
bonus boo.
Yes. Wait a minute. When we met, so you and I met on the campaign trail. At that point, were y'all just dating or were y'all already married?
So we were dating. We were
Okay,
dating
y'all were dating.
because he became DA on my birthday, November 2nd, 2010, and we got married December 11th, 2010.
Okay. So
So
this is a big
we were
deal.
in the
So you're
middle
dating.
of a whole engagement when he decides to quit his job and go run for office. You talking
We're
about
not
again the
dating.
day when you remember when something happened, something else
Yes.
had happened, and I was so proud of him. I was in Publix over at East Lake with some fresh, and I do mean fresh scallop, shrimp, and crab meat with a
Ma'am.
bottle of wine, and we were going to celebrate whatever it was. I was in
Yes.
line, and he called, "Babe, I got to tell you." Now we're engaged. "Babe, I got to tell
Girl.
you something. It's an emergency." I was like, "Okay, what's up?" He was like, "Where are you?" And I was like, "I'm at Publix. I'm about to head to your house." He was like, "Okay, I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "What's going on? Is something wrong?" He was like, "No, it's not wrong. I just need you to know before you see it on the news." And I'm like, "What you do? What you know?
Not before you see it on the news.
What?" I'm like, "What kind of message is that?" And so he tells me that, the then DA was stepping down, and he had decided to run for it, and just wanted to talk it over with me, but had to do that part later. But the news cameras were already surrounding them because they knew, that it was that he might and it might get out. And so the lady looks up, the cashier looks up and says, 6873. And I'm thinking, like, do we have 6873 now? You still have a job?
But
And
so
our money is
you're
emerged, but I'm thinking, like, wait a minute.
right. It's so funny. Okay, I'm gonna come back to the point, but it's so funny because right before Lee and I got married, homeboy quit his job as well. Literally right before we got
Best
married.
for us,
And
I
all
think.
I could think of was my daddy is not. When we're at this wedding and they're asking, what do you do for a living? My daddy is gonna turn this thing. No, when I told you I was thinking about you for this conversation or the marriage conversation, I said we need to talk about what it means to be married to a visionary because, baby, it will stretch you. Okay, so I'm not keeping you all day. Let's fast forward. Okay,
On track now. Keep me
so
on track.
where I'm wanting us to kind of transition to, so you get married and you're married to visionary. He was in politics. We met on the campaign trail. And then he ends up opening his own law practice.
Yep.
And currently, what is your role in the law practice?
So right now I am the director of operations. What that means is I handle everything business of the firm. He handles everything legal of the firm. I handle everything business of the firm.
Okay. Now there was a transition for you with that. I'm going to go into that transition in a moment because I want to take a step back. Because our conversation today is the name of the series, for those of you who are listening, is Mind Your Money. That's the name of the series, Mind Your Money. And what we are really talking about is understanding our money mindset and how it impacts every area of our life. And so what I kind of want you to lean into right now is, why do you think, or have you experienced, that might be a better question to ask, have you experienced money being a taboo topic, particularly for women? Because this is my audience. It is made up of powerful women, but this conversation of money can often be taboo. Why do you think that is?
There's so many answers, you know, to that, right? But I'm going to tell you what affected me. We already talked about my upbringing. And so I knew, no, I didn't know. Later, much later in life, I shouldn't say much later because I ain't that old, but you know.
Right.
But much later in life, I realized that habits that I had created as an adult was from a scarcity mindset.
Mm.
Okay. And so, and I still deal with that sometimes even now. So, and I'm going to stay on track this time. In December at the office, we did a Christmas holiday dinner for our team, right? And everybody got to bring a plus one. So we have about 10 staff. So you're looking at about 20, somewhere around 20 people going out to this really nice, wonderful dinner. And I remember trying to figure out what I was going to wear to this Christmas party. And, you know, I had so much going on that it was kind of last minute when I was looking for, you know, looking for something. But I remember being at the shopping plaza and seeing this super cute skirt in the window. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And it was kind of like had like this little tulle thing going on with a little shimmery, shiny stuff. And it was like a cute little sweater to go with it. And I looked up at the store and I was like, nah, I'm not going in there. You know, because I'm thinking like, oh, that costs too much.
Yeah.
Come back home, getting ready for the party, just kind of like trying to throw it together. And when I finally got dressed, I remember thinking like, okay, I pulled that together. When I went to walk out the door, I was like, what am I doing? Why didn't I go and get this dress? Like the whole time, I wanted to wear a dress. You know, but I have on these pants. And again, I'm cute.
You too, yeah.
But it hit me so hard. Like, and I'm like, what? The scarcity mindset. It's like, you know, and I still don't know how much it was, but when I look at the store, I'm like, okay, literally at the most it could have been was $150. And I can guarantee you it wasn't that
girl,
much.
Okay, this going to make me scream. Okay, first of all, I want you to, there's so much to that one example, particularly because you didn't even go in to see how much it was.
Yeah.
And one of the things, as I share very, very transparently in our first conversation, for those of you listening, this conversation is challenging for me. The money conversation gets me all weird. And praying through my own scarcity mindset. But one of the things that being married to my husband has taught me, just figure it out. Just ask. Just try. Because he walks in such faith. There are things that we have experienced and doors that we have walked in and places we have been, girl, that on paper, we have no reason to be able to be there. And so that is such a perfect example. This podcast is focused on helping us to see ourselves.
Yep.
So someone who sees you, when they look you up on social media, when they look up the practice that you and your husband, the law practice you and your husband are running, and they see how dope you are and how fly you are, But to be able to see that even you didn't even go in to see how much it was, or it could have been on sale. That is a perfect example of scarcity mindset. So
yep.
I want you to tell me, how would you define it? How do you define scarcity mindset?
I can tell you sometimes like what it looks and feel like, right?
Okay.
And so it's the belief that I cannot have it, I cannot afford it, or I shouldn't have it, or I don't deserve it.
Yeah, right? That just got me. Yes. Wait, that I cannot afford it, that I shouldn't have it, or I don't deserve it.
Yep.
Well, that's so good.
And the way we start to challenge ourselves, you know, and yes, and like it is April, and that was just December that, you know, I had this issue. And I would tell you that there is no reason for me to have that thought, right? Now, I'm not, you know, and don't look too deep into that. I'm not telling y'all that, you know, the trunk is full. That ain't what.
But you know that you can afford a $150 dress.
Hello.
If that's how much we're going to say is the max,
right.
You can get you $150 like, for the Christmas party to celebrate the business.
Let me say, listen, I tipped at the party more than that. Like, I mean, we dropped at least $3,500 on this Christmas party.
Ma'am.
But I can't come into this Christmas party with a $100 dress on. Like,
you go
seriously.
Get the dress now. I need you to go back and start.
And so, you know, but we've got to deal with these things, right? And so, ladies out there, if you are listening, I am not giving anyone permission to go buy a $100 dress or a $100,000 car when your rent or your mortgage isn't paid. What I am saying that is we have to figure out where we are. And a lot of times that's the issue. We haven't done the work to figure out where we are. We're so busy working to get by, to get to the next place, that we don't figure out where we are and what we actually can do, what our capacity is.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, and what I'm learning now, and even for the business, that getting to the next level is about understanding where you are and what it's going to take to get to the next level. We're only going to stumble and bumble and get to so far. The rest has to be planned
out.
That's so good.
Okay. Let me jump in and say this. So one of the things that you kind of alluded to is that you said that you were the director of the domestic violence, of a domestic violence center. You also mentioned that you and I, our professional lives connected when we worked together at a partial hospitalization program. And so you have expertise, training, and experience in helping people navigate their mental health realities. I like to say mental health realities or mental health versus mental illness, because we all have mental health realities.
Hello.
So when you think about scarcity mentality, and then we combine your expertise. So you and I worked together for a few years in this partial hospitalization program. And these were for people, I'm just wanting everybody to understand your expertise. These were people who had been diagnosed with, had a dual diagnosis.
Yes.
They had some type of addiction, whether it was drugs or alcohol. And they also were diagnosed with a mental health disorder or diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so we were there to help them navigate toward healing, whether it was towards sobriety and regulating their mental health. So baby, we were trained, honey. We were trained in the trenches, baby. But I want to make it, we were trained in the trenches. And so now, as you've transitioned out of that and you are running this business and you've had all this other experience, how does mental health play a part in our money realities? Because one of the things you just said that gave me pause is knowing where you are. And I believe there's a lot of fear associated with that, like the fear of really assessing where you are. So what would you say is how money or mental health plays into our money mindset?
So you can just consider even our mental health. Most of our, you know, other than things that are just genetic and kind of, you know, passed on, our mindsets are passed on from our parents and families, or, you know, our circle, right? And the circle starts at home, whatever home looks like for you. That's where, you know, that's where it starts. And so we are creatures of habit. So we begin to repeat those same things in our other relationships outside of our home. And so, you know, so this is one of those things where, you know, and what's the name of this program? Intentional Conversations?
Yes. Baby.
If you want to be intentional about something, we need to be intentional about where we are financially. Yes. Okay. And part of the reason that we're not okay with being intentional about our finances is because that private intentionality creates a public response, or requires a public action. Right. So what does that yes. mean? When my homegirl called me and say, hey, we about to hit this rum brunch, you know, and I know that I have a goal with my finances. Girl. Do I say, like, I'm going to pull back because I spent $75 there last week on $20 pancakes, like, because we were there all day, you know, and I had to pay for parking or whatever that was, you know, like, we don't want to tell people no.
Girl, that's right? so good.
We don't want to tell, and it's not just we don't want to tell people no, we don't want to tell people no and why.
Yes, yes,
I can't
absolutely.
Tell you the last time, I talked to any other grown woman about what they were making, or financially struggling with prior to this last year.
Mm.
Okay. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I have been intentional in my relationships, you know,
yeah.
With my girlfriends now and my family members. And it's not like, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good over here. How you doing? But it's not even me asking them how much you making, but it is me talking finances, talking money, talking, you know, salary, talking what we deserve, what we should be doing, how we should be getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Robert and I are doing in the business now, when you're talking about fumbling your way forward, we together, we have grown such an amazing firm. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons, you know, but a lot of it, you know, we just kind of like, all right, another case, you know, go find a case, right? And he's a very good attorney, so he knows yes. how to practice. Being in politics and managing large businesses, I've managed staff before, so we knew how to hire folk and, you know, bring people in to do, you know, to do jobs. But I tell you, probably last year has been a struggle, not financially, but just with the growth and trying to grow smart, scale up, but scale yes. up smartly, right?
Yes.
When it was just me, him, and two other people, you know, we were able to bring in a lot more profits, right? Into
yeah.
the house.
Yeah.
You start
yeah, yeah.
hiring folk, you start making more money, but then it's like, wait a minute, my percentage is going down. What is happening? Right?
Yes.
I didn't go to business school. I just know how to do some stuff.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
And so, you know, we've gone out and hired a coach. And we are a part of a larger team. And when I tell you the worst and best thing about our first kind of, I guess, class, you'll say, with them, it's like us and maybe like seven to 10 other law firm owners, right? And the facilitator is like, okay, how much you making right now? And everybody's eyes are like, I mean, you gonna strap up first? Like, you got to get a seatbelt or something. Like, wait a minute, you're just gonna put me on a ride and go for it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and I see how that strap up could have been taken out of context. Down, girl.
Girl, I was so nervous.
Down, girl.
I was so nervous. She mean put on your seatbelt.
Yes.
She gonna put on your seatbelt, baby. So I love that. So even when what you're saying is having to stop and look at the truth of what it is in a place of accountability.
Yep.
Was scary. Yep. It's and
it
I love
like,
that.
Hey, figure this out. And so now, Robin, what I was doing, the reason I was like, oh, give me 5 minutes to get on. What Robert and I were working on was, our business plan for the rest of the year, right? And so one of the things, they're like, oh, don't worry about the math, because we were like, oh, you know, we're not like business. They're like, don't worry about the math. You know what your average case value is. If you want to do these things, how many cases do you need to do it? Like on top of what you usually bring it. And when I tell you, my husband have always said to me, and we didn't click, it didn't click the way it clicks now, because he was onto something, but he didn't even know how much he was onto it. He'll be like, oh, babe, let's go to the Bahamas this weekend, or, you know, next month or whatever. And I'm like, babe, like, we got to do so-and-so. He'll be like, all right, well, if I go out and find one more case, are you okay with doing it? And I'm like, all right, within 24 hours, all right, that's a case. And I'm like,
girl, when I tell you, and I love that mindset, because kind of when you own your own business, you can think like that. Like, okay, I need to pay for this camp. How many clients are required to pay for this camp, right? Yep. I love that. Okay. So our time is almost up. I have two more questions I want to make sure that I ask you. I want to come really quick, because you are a woman of faith. How does faith play a part in how you process your money mindset? You know, a lot of times people of faith, and this may be I said this last time, this may be a stereotypical statement that I make, but I find that a lot of times people with faith, or people who walk in faith,
you're supposed to stay in your humble beginnings.
Teach, girl. What do you think? What do you think about that? That's exactly what I mean.
I think it is an excuse to be lazy and broke.
Woo! Woo! You're talking about put on your seatbelt, honey. Okay, break that down.
I think it's an excuse. So there's this thing that's, you know, we've all heard, money can't buy happiness, right? Money can buy insurance, though. Money can buy groceries. It can keep a roof over your head. And guess what? When you have all of those things for yourself and your family, you can do it for other people, God's people.
Oh, girl, that's so good. Yes, you have a responsibility.
Absolutely.
You have a responsibility to whom much is given.
Much is required. And we've got to step up to the plate. You know, we're constantly asking God for more and more and more and more and more. What are we willing to give? What are we going to do with the more that he gives us?
You are.
Listen, if you don't do right with it, he's going to take it from you anyway. Or you won't have to. You'll lose it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, listen, we are believers. We are tithers. We are doers. Okay. It's so funny because I feel like my husband and I we wake up two different ways, right? I wake up, my feet hit the floor, and I'm off to the day. Okay. My husband wakes up, I can say, good morning, babe, nothing. He wakes up, he rolls out of bed onto his knees.
Wow.
And he talks to God for however long he needs to talk.
I love that.
And as he's standing up, he said, hey, babe. Like, oh, you heard me. You going to talk to God before you talk to me? Yes, you are. Thank you very much.
To God before you talk to me.
And, you know, and like literally, I roll out of bed. I mean, I'm sorry. I pounce out of bed. I'm knocking on doors. You get up, get your uniform. Let's do, you know, everybody get the order. It's all about, you know, getting on to the day. And he's like, nothing starts. Now I go to bed that way. You know, in fact, we go to bed together, you know, that way. And it's funny, 13 years. And I keep saying, like, I need to be more like my husband, you know, and sometimes I'm able to reel it in. And sometimes I'm 30, 45 minutes into the day. And I realize, like, I hadn't even stopped and, you know, and said good morning to you, you know,
yes.
And, you know, mm-hmm. And that's my truth. Mm-hmm. But I do. I know that God rolls with me because I roll with him. Mm-hmm. Or
ooh,
vice versa, however you want to do it. So we can chit chat all day long.
Yes.
Right.
And so when you see it like that, I love that perspective that we are not talking about wealth building to hoard. We're talking about wealth building so that we can bless other people and be and be his hands and feet, right? You all Absolutely. Have even been able to help Transforming Faith Church do more of its mission and its goal. And so it's really, that's a shift in our mindset. It's really a shift. Y'all, I know I'm serious about that. That was a big aha, because if people of faith are shrinking back when it comes to finances, it is keeping us from being able to be the hands and feet exactly. in a practical way. Okay, so here's my last question for you. What is it, you know, because one of the things, the other two women that I'm speaking to are both single women without any children. You're the only woman on this topic that I'm speaking to who is married and has children. If you were talking to a woman just like you, either a single, maybe a single mother, or a woman just like you who's married and has children, what are a couple of principles? Give me one or two money principles you would want her to embrace so that she's listening to this. One or two money principles she could embrace that could help her begin to shift where she is financially.
For married women, work with your husband. Money is fluid. And the conversation, when you talk about that mental health stuff, that conversation about money can be, whew, you know, I mean, well, listen, what is it? Money, sex, and kids?
Yeah.
The top yes. 3 reasons for a divorce?
Yes. Money.
And sex only comes up when it's bad. So if it's not bad, it's not an issue. So yes. You got money and sex. I'm sorry, money and kids.
Money
right?
and children. Let me jump in real quick. There are 5 areas that impact a marriage's success. And you want to look at all 5 areas, but she is absolutely right. Money, financial challenges, or finances. Because what's funny, it doesn't even have to be financial challenges, just a different right. mindset yep. when it comes to how you handle money, children, and intimacy with an S, because it's going to be on YouTube, but we can't say the other word. Intimacy with an S are the top 3, and there are 2 more, and we'll talk about that in the marriage segment. Okay, so go ahead. So you would say work with your husband financially.
Right. And so Earl, very, even before, so here's, you know, when you're dating someone, right, you have to be, when you decide like, okay, I'm dating for marriage at this point, you have to be intentional. Even if you're not dating for marriage, you need to be intentional about who you're dating and for what.
Yes.
Right, who you're giving your time to. And so Robert and I were spending a lot of time together and, you know, wining and dining, honey. Mm-hmm. I mean, mama was chilling, okay?
Yes.
And he likes to eat well. And so I was along for the ride.
Yes.
About a year in, I was like, you know what? This, we got something here. And probably really before that, but I'll say about a solid year in, I was like, oh, you know, something is happening here. And I would cook for myself and I would cook for him periodically also, but it was, you know, he was like, oh, come with me here, come with me there.
Yeah.
And he would come over, you know, sometimes for a meal, but the moment I realized we were going places, and I don't mean to out to eat, but we were going to be together, I pushed back on all that because mm-hmm. I'm like, this is money going out the window. And you're just feeding me because you don't cook. I cook. Mm-hmm. Like I can eat at home and you can come too at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. All the eating out and stuff, because I knew that if I continue to nurture that behavior, that was a behavior that we were going to have in our marriage.
Wow. Yes.
Now my friends thought I was crazy. Like, so you just gonna go home and cook? Y'all ain't going to the spot, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's so much bigger than that. Right.
And I love that.
So that's what we did. You know, I started to shift, and it's funny because later on I realized there was things about things that I did in a relationship that he started to shift me in another direction. Almost like we were preparing each other to be,
yes.
You know, like, okay, this is how we're going to bring it together. I also had the conversation with him about money. Like, hey, we spend a lot of money on eating out. And he laughed. I remember him saying like, I'm like, well, I'm not paying for this.
It's about to be our money in a minute.
Right.
So you would tell the woman, make sure that you are able to have, or that you are open to having a money conversation.
Absolutely.
With your spouse. Absolutely.
I know women now that still sneak bags inside, you know, sneak the,
yes, yes.
You know, And so it shouldn't be that way. Now, you know, it's all, you know, cool. I'm not talking about the little thing here or there, but I am talking about the relationships where, you know, just the conversation or the thought of having a money conversation, you know, is a thing. And I meant to pull the actual quote in or the realities of this, but there's, you know, and everybody can look it up for your own, and there's probably 22 different versions, but there's something that talks about like how much weight a horse can pull on its own, right? Mm-hmm. So I know I'm making this up, guys. So, you know, a horse can probably pull like a 1,000 tons on its own, right? But if you put two horses together and train them step for step, it's not just 2,000 ton they can pull on their own. It's about 20 times that.
Oh, baby, don't you worry about it. I'm going to be preaching. Go find that. So you, I'm going to look it up. You think I'm playing. Let me write this down.
And it's like the more you train together, the more you walk together, you're in lockstep, the further you can go. And so, Robin, one of the things that we talked about was how other people look at our spouses are, and you and I laugh. So you're like, oh, ain't for faint of heart, boo. You know, it is, you know, it is something to work with these men that are always on the go, you know, in their mind, mm-hmm. always on the go, always off to the next thing, conquering yes. the next phase, honey. And so, you know, just keeping that in mind and always just kind of planning, you know, not just for your own thoughts of transition, but for theirs too.
Absolutely. I love, girl, I love, 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 love that. So if you're talking to the women, you would say, make sure that you are in conversation with your spouse. Yep. Girl, when I tell you, when y'all hear me preaching this about the horse and the just know I'm going to give you your credit for pointing me in the direction. Yep. Okay, give me one more piece of wisdom and then we'll wrap up. You were going to say to single women. What would you say to single women,
that accountability isn't really there when you don't have a mate that you got to kind of, you know, do the budgeting, you know, session with. But if you have children, you know, and I know as a mom, there's only so much of the book you're going to open up, but mm-hmm. start to have those conversations with your children too. One of the things that I do with my kids, when we walk through the mall, I'm like, oh, I want Auntie Annie's. Auntie Annie's used to be like $3.26. Now it's like, you got to pay $15 or something. So the last time I saw one of the Auntie Annie's pretzels, my kid was asking for whatever they wanted was like, literally like $9.80, right? Did the whole math, made a whole project out of it. And we were right across from us was Foot Locker. And this was like before all of the everybody's paying $13 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think minimum wage is still $7.25 or something like that. But I gave her my phone. I said, how many hours of work are you willing to put in for this pretzel lemonade? And she was like, what? I just want a pretzel lemonade. It's nobody in line. It'll be quick. And I said, okay. Well, look up what minimum wage is. And it was $7.25 or something. I said, okay, so this is the type of job that you can get right now. But you got to take out taxes. I said, so basically, are you willing to work in this store right here at Foot Locker for 2 hours to get you a pretzel and a lemonade?
Girl, that's so good. That is
She was so
good.
Mad at me. She was like, well, mommy, daddy doesn't make minimum wage. And I said, you don't make anything.
Right.
So, daddy did what he needed to do to make what he makes. He's not asking me for a pretzel. You are.
Girl, so you're telling single women, particularly single mothers, to have the conversation. What's interesting is we went to spring. Our family went with another family, two other families actually, for spring break, right? And my daughters, all three of the girls, particularly the big girls, they had money to spend. Now, mind you, we had cooked all this food in the house, enough food to last for the week. My daughter Ryan, she was like, mommy, I want to go to get some Starbucks. I was like, well, you got your own money, you can go get some Starbucks. She said, oh, I don't want to spend my money on the Starbucks. Never. I said, well, come on in here and get you one of these drinks. Get you one of these drinks that we have, the K-Pod, and put it in. And baby, when I tell you, I have never seen my daughters. They out there where we were, they could just kind of go on their own.
Right.
I have never seen them come home more often to fix them a sandwich, to warm up some chicken. So I love that. And I personally, and I want those of you listening to comment and let me know how many of us need to do a better job in helping our children, to your point, understand. I'm doing that one right there, minimum wage versus how much it costs. One more story. Let me tell y'all this, and then I'm going to let you give your final words. My daughter had to do a project about how much money you make and where you're going to live. It was just this big project. So she called me and asked me how much rent was. So I, at an apartment. So I gave her an estimate of what I would think the rent would be. She said, "Ooh, okay, so I'm going to divide that by four." Said by four. She said, "Yeah, baby, it's going." She said, "It's going to be a 2-bedroom, and it's going to be 2 people." She said, "Have to rewrite it." She said, "Yeah, honey, if I can get 5, I will." Those kind of conversations really, really do have an impact. Since you have given us so much insight and so much wisdom, our conversation has done just what I thought it would be. We were just going to be here chit-chatting. What would be your two things? What would be your takeaway, just for the women to hear as we're wrapping up? What is the one thing you want them to take away from this conversation?
One of the things that I think we all need to know is we deserve everything that we want. And we can have everything that we're willing to work for. We just have to make sure that it is in alignment with God.
I love it. That's perfect. That's it. That's perfect right there. Thank you for that. How can these people connect? You don't really be on social media like that, are you?
I don't. But can I do it anyway? When I pop in, I'm like, hey.
That's what I'm trying to do. Where can they, if they want to follow you, if they want to get some wisdom from you, where can they connect? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook?
Instagram and Facebook. Those are the two that I use. And that's why I put my name in here the same way it is on social media, is Korea Simmons James. I need to run something by you actually. Considering doing a and this is kind of, it's funny, it's in line with this. So maybe your ladies can tell you if they would be interested. But I'm considering doing this work wife thing on Instagram.
Like an Instagram. Yeah, they'll be interested. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, they'll be interested. Do not tell me you want to do something, honey, because I will be on you about doing it.
So the role reversal of me and my husband at work at home is just hilarious. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I need to share.
Yes. So tell the people. So your Instagram is your full name, Korea Simmons James. Simmons with 2 M's, James. So make sure you follow her. And I'm super excited that you came on with me. You have given us so much information. Thank you for being with me, friend.
Thanks for the invite, Robin. Anytime.
Talk to you soon. Hey, friend, listen, I'm super excited that you listened to this episode of Intentional Conversations with Robin May and Friends. But before you go, did you know that my book, Before You Take His Name, is officially available for you to purchase? Just head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Before You Take His Name gives Christian women 14 questions that you should ask before you say I do. But here's the thing. The book is actually best for those who may be casually dating, or girl, even if you're not dating at all, this is the time to read the book, because it will allow you to set a healthy foundation when you start to get serious about somebody that just may be the one. So if you haven't already, head over to robinmayonline.com/shopbooks. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right in the description of this video. If you're watching this on your favorite podcast app, you can find it in the show notes. Or if you're following me on Instagram, you can head over to Robin May Online and click the link in my bio. Listen, girl, if you're married, will you go ahead and order it for one of your single girlfriends? Tell them I told you to send it to them. Again, Before You Take His Name is available for purchase. Go grab your copy.